because you're afraid you may be, in fact...
Oh, I know they lie. I'm not afraid. This isn't paranoia or anything.
Right.
I actually have their black
right.
and white proof.
You're concerned that they will, in essence, misrepresent what happens and then have you jailed for violating this restraining order, which...
Oh, no, you're going way too far.
Yeah.
No, I know they lie.
Okay.
Black and white.
Uh-huh.
No, they lie.
Right. So, in any case, you're appealing this in court. How's that court appeal going?
No, that anybody even follows it.
Well, that's why we're asking.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry Henry, I know you've been downtown. You serve food to people, I should say...
I passed out rolls down there this morning.
And have you been arrested yet for feeding the pigeons?
Alibaba had me arrested for dropping a crumb when I was feeding.
I remember. And then you went to court.
And I know he lies.
Then you went to court and he didn't show up, right?
No, they wrote me a letter, saying that under they desired not to proceed with the case.
Well, I understand another person, Billy Starr, a musician, has reappeared on the streets, has gotten a ticket for feeding a bagel to a pigeon.
Oh.
Or littering, as they called it. And what worried me about this ticket, even more than the one from you, your ticket was a citizen's arrest from Alibaba. This ticket actually was a police arrest. So the police apparently now are picking up the Alibaba standards of gentrification, social cleansing.
Oh, I think I prefaced earlier in this conversation that I see a new police movement in full force.
Yeah, and we see that, of course.
And I don't see it just in the city council meetings or the Brown Act.
Well, you see it in the pages of the Sentinel, that's for sure. Last Sunday's Sentinel was full of Dan White's smear job stuff against
Oh, absolutely. You know, that famous buddy, that sergeant of yours
Sergeant Baker.
At the city council meeting, faced off and made a tape with me last Sunday down there.
Oh, really? I'd like to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're going to be around today. Maybe we'll see.
No,
you
I'm
later.
Actually headed home. Done did my feeding on the streets and just stopped here in Aptos here at Aptos Natural and just about ready to head home.
Well, you have a good night and a good day, and we'll talk to you again later. Anything anybody can do to volunteer to help your food program?
Stand up for the Unruh Civil Rights Act. Scream, holler, we need, stop hate.
Cool.
I think it's actually a hate crime kind of that's being committed against classes of people.
And that is going to be one of the themes in Sacramento on July 10th, that a law against sleep is a hate crime.
Well, it's not just sleep. I mean, when you can't be on the streets, when you can't even stop in the town, when you can't exist. See, I see, it's a sleeping ban. I see the perpetration of the businesses even, because even if you could sneak away and sleep,
mm-hmm.
if you can't come out in public and exist at all...
What's the point?
Yeah, what's the point of sleeping? So I think it's the Unruh Civil Rights Act that's got to be held. That's my input. Thanks much for letting me talk.
Sure.
Keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks, Jerry.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And if we have any legal eagles out there who want to do some research on the Unruh Civil Rights Act, which is a California statute, as I said, which is supposed to guarantee open access to public accommodations, it was originally intended to stop racial discrimination, please call 423-HUFF, 423-4833, or give us a call here at the studio at 427-3772. Hi, you're on the air with Uncle Robert.
Hey, this is Dirt Clod.
Hey, Dirt Clod, you're out of jail.
No, I'm not. I'm in jail.
You're in jail? What is this? They sent a phone to your...
Attached to Becky.
Mamma mia.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking with Don Alden, a.k.a. Dirt Clod, and one of the co-founders of Camp Paradise.
Yep.
And you are in the lockup for what?
Assault with a deadly weapon.
And did you, should I ask you questions about this, or do you want to reserve
yeah,
that to
you
your...
Yeah, ask me questions about it.
Did you assault anybody with a deadly weapon?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to make any confessions on the air here, Dirt Clod. Should you be, what's your bail?
$10,000.
Oh, boy. Well, what do you want to talk to me about? Tell me the facts.
Well, I want to stop this man from robbing the poor, Larry Templeton.
Alrighty, well.
And I got all the facts.
Okay.
I have, statistical, material, verbal, visual facts.
You're referring to Larry Templeton, the co-founder of Camp Paradise, who currently is sort of camped with a number of, where you were camped, out at the, they've moved to the back of a church property, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Well, I want everybody out there in Radio Land to know this man, you got to give him credit for what he did. But to sit there and embezzle money. And I found out how he was embezzling the money. I got the facts, and so does a few other people have the material facts. Since I'm in jail, you know, I got those facts buried away. But you got to be careful. There's people out there that like to live off the poor. And Larry Templeton's one of those people that like to live off the poor. And after I'd noticed it and finally realized exactly that's what he was doing, that hurt me. That put me and my freedom, my life, in jeopardy. And I felt, man, I could no longer live with that person. He threatened me a week ago. I filed charges on him, a complaint. And then he begged me and begged me to drop him. I dropped him, but he still continued on doing his thing, lying, cheating, deceiving people of this community that are very well-worthy, noted people, like Steve Paul Lee. He lied to Paul Lee and Paul Fultonmeyer of the church and Stan Abrams of the church. Lies about drug usage in the area, knowing he was the one covering up his own drug usage. Well, Camp Paradise is still going to live. It's going to live without Larry Templeton. I pledge myself, man, to continue Camp Paradise on someday when I get out of jail.
Mm-hmm. We actually was talking with numerous people at Camp Paradise about setting up a second Camp Paradise, because I understand there was an insurrection in the camp about a week ago, where the camp decided that they were concerned about money problems that you may be referring to, and also Larry Templeton's style of leadership, and a few other things, and sort of there was a long meeting on one long Thursday night, and yeah. The result was Larry sort of essentially said, I don't want to be a part of this if I'm going to be accused this way, and his girlfriend Sherry was also being, should we say, criticized, and so there was sort of a new, people in the camp decided they wanted to do some sort of, was there an and I heard different stories on this. I heard from Tom Shaver that there was no real new program or new leadership developed, but, and I heard from you that there was. What's the perspective?
Well, there's no real leadership developed. What we was doing, we was trying to sit there and get a democracy, a democratic style of government in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And since, you know, there's one person that, two people that basically founded the money, they said there's no democracy here. It's a dictatorship.
Who handled the money in the camp?
Paulie and another man are the ones that put up $10,000 each, $20,000 in January.
Mm-hmm.
At that time it was asked, you know, who's going to handle the money? Well, I can't handle money. I'm honestly got to tell you the truth. I cannot handle money.
Mm-hmm.
So I never asked to handle any money.
Mm-hmm.
All the checks that were wrote for that camp for specific reasons variously go through Larry Templeton.
Mm-hmm.
When I found bank statements, finding bank statements that have $10,000 drawn out of the account, changed over to Larry Templeton's account, the numerous $100, $200, $300 withdrawals wrote out to Larry Templeton, I found out, man, this is just supporting this man's marijuana habit. And if you remember Charles Manson and the LSD, as the LSD was his controlling factor over the people of his clan, well, I just got the reasoning and got to finding out. That's what Larry Templeton does with his marijuana. He smokes the marijuana with the people of the camp, gets them in control, keeps them in control with that marijuana. So after seeing these things like this, I can no longer be a participating factor in that. But I still wanted to see a good principle and a good reality go on and continue on. So that's why I want to try and say the Santa Cruz Service Corps. That's why I want to oust Larry Templeton completely, put him in his own world, leave him there, and I want Camp Paradise to continue on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's people out there in the community that would like to help me do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are, help me, help yourselves.
Well, I think there was a decision about 4 or 5 days ago where I guess Paul Lee sort of essentially decided he would back up Larry Templeton, and and he also, however, stated that there is a concern that the Santa Cruz Service Corps be separate from Camp Paradise, and that not be headed by any one person per se, that there be a democratic leadership process there,
right?
And that so anybody be able to join the Santa Cruz Service Corps, including the people who are, in essence, kind of being either encouraged or forced to leave Camp Paradise. A number of people apparently That's one of the problems I've noticed in the camp, is that Larry tends to be sort of sensitive to alternate leadership, if you want to understand
right.
what I'm saying, and he tends to be, I think he feels threatened when other people are kind of rise up. I don't know about the validity of your charges on embezzlement or your drug use, and frankly, I don't give a shit about drug use myself. I think it's a right every adult should have,
right.
but I appreciate that, you know, it's a sensitive issue and one that can be used to control people in the sense that if you're camped on church property, you can accuse someone of drug use and get them thrown out, and that has happened, I think, a number of times.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're all fighting each other instead of trying to fight for basic civil rights for everyone, which is what we need.
Right.
And that's why I think the leadership needs to be shared here. I'd go so far as to agree with you that Larry should be ostracized or evicted from this. I would like to see shared leadership, but I can understand you may have different experiences, you may have different information than I do. You know, you have certainly have lived there. And I haven't, you know, I stayed one night there.
Me being a co-founder,
right.
even if my idea was the right or the best idea and it was offered to Larry, Larry would just shove it away, man, and not let it happen. You know, I was like an invisible person being a co-founder. My title had no weight to it. I mean, you know, what king wants to be dethroned? There's no king in the world that wants to be taken off his throne.
Well, I know that various people, ranging from Bear to Mike and other people, have all kind of come and gone in the camp because some have said because Larry has felt, you know, threatened by their presence.
Oh, yeah, he's a threatening man.
You know, Randy, Sue, other folks who have, you know, and it's often an accusation of drug use that is the basis for doing this, which to me is kind of the kettle calling the pot black. I mean, there, you know, the question to me, as I said, is not drug use. The question is whether people are getting work, whether they're doing service for the community, whether they're finding legal places to sleep and working together. If everybody in the world is, you know, shooting up heroin 24 hours a day while they're doing that, I couldn't care less. And I don't mind saying that because I think that the issue is how people behave, not the personal drug use that they have.
Fortunately, I've been a working addict, a functional working addict for 35 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows whether I'm high or not. I get up, I do my work, I get my jobs completed. I'm one of a few people that can do that. Larry is another one that's one of a few people can do that. He can smoke his marijuana and he can do things. But when you sit there and use that as a tool against other people, well, that's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing that really disturbed me Thursday when this altercation happened was I needed a person out. I had three jobs in the Service Corps. I needed a fourth person. I went and solicited a fourth person outside the Service Corps, which was the right thing to do because the Service Corps is for everybody, not just a few select. Larry was objective to that. He did not want anybody outside the Service Corps having a job. And that's what the Service Corps was intended for, was for us homeless people to get jobs, hook up with employment. That's what it was all about. And when he was stopping that process, I knew right then and there he was a man out for selfish reasons for himself, and that it could no longer go on like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was changing the principles of what he was pledging to support.
I should tell you that when Becky and I visited Camp Paradise, Larry did express some fond feelings for you. Although he said that you would, quote, have to come clean before you came back to camp. Again, I think that it is, you know, it's sort of a power tool to talk about the drug situation. Although, if you're parked on private property, and the church is insistent, as I guess most churches are, that you not use government pre-proscribed drugs, then that's what you have.
Uh-huh.
But he did say that at the time I spoke to him that you were not, you know, to be excluded from the camp, that he just wanted you to go into a program. And I said that just simply to pass on that information to you. I don't think
well,
I had a chance
good.
To talk
maybe
to you.
Maybe you can pass this on to him.
Yeah.
I love him very much as a brother. You know, that love will never change. And I dropped the charges on him. I feel it's only a fair deal for him to drop the charges on me. Mm-hmm. And we can continue on this thing. And I'll give him a UA every day. I'm clean right now.
Mm-hmm.
Been in jail for 3 days. I'm clean. What can I say?
Any reports from jail, Dirt Cloud, about what's going on there? Are there many homeless people in jail?
Yeah, I've got, in my tank I have 12 homeless people.
And what kind of crimes are they charged with generally?
Just, you know, misdemeanor and common things. Camping tickets, flying a sign, you know, smoking marijuana without a card, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And when
When is your court date?
I believe tomorrow.
So it'll be Monday, do you know, 8:30 in the morning we're talking?
Possibly.
This is your arraignment. They would bring you in those cute orange outfits that they like so much.
Uh-huh.
I would appreciate it if you talked to Becky, produces the show, and, you know, tell her whatever you wanted about your case. I don't want to talk about your case on the air for the reason that while it's important for the community to have a sense of what's going on, it's also, I find, the intermission or the intervention of the authorities can result in all kinds of very bad effects, like people getting sent away for years and years in a circumstance with that, you know, that shouldn't be happening. And you see this most around drug use, but, you know, all the more in a situation where there's a fight of some kind, where, you know, perhaps there are better ways to work it out than jail.
There's better ways to work it out.
Yeah.
There really is.
So I, much as I would make very good news for me to get the full story from you on the air right now, I think, as speaking as an advocate for you, and for anybody who's calling in under these circumstances, I would suggest you talk about it privately with Becky, and then, you know, then you and she can decide, along with any legal assistance, how much of it you want to make public at any particular time.
Well, once again, you know, every person, you know, should be responsible for their actions. I'm responsible for my actions, Joe. Mm-hmm. If I do wrong, I admit I do wrong. Mm-hmm. I'd admit this to the whole community. If I've done wrong, give me my punishment, I'll do my punishment. But, you know, like drug usages and things like this, these are the suffering things, man, that homeless have to sit there and deal with. Sure, they don't want to be drug users all their life. They don't want to live a life like that. But, you know, depression, because of being homeless, man, drives you in different directions. And drug use is just one of those directions. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, it happens.
Well, I have been calling on the air for a second camp where there's a more democratic leadership, where people who... Both people who are currently members of Camp Paradise, if they want, or who are not members of Camp Paradise, and that includes 99% of the homeless community, can come together and try to form a second camp, or hopefully a third, fourth, and fifth camp, but you start with the second, where you have a more democratic leadership, and you also have community support in a more public venue. I mean, it's nice to have churches, you know, hosting camps. I mean, in the county, that's great. I understand that Stan and other pastors are kind of working to expand that, and I'm glad to hear that.
Respectfully, that's what my choices are, and that's what my goal is mm-hmm. to sit there and put up another Camp Paradise, a third, fourth, and fifth if you choose, but in a democratic way, mm-hmm. where I have public contact, public input, public support, public understanding of the blighted problem that we suffer, and in a democratic way. I can only see that a camp would be successful if it has a proper body, quote-unquote, government mm-hmm. body, that is.
Yeah, and you have to have some controls to deal with problems that arise with money, as apparently, and also with the problems of, you know, the conflicts that occur in camp, you know. I mean, one way has been the way of having essentially one person tell folks what to do.
Uh-huh.
And that can be, that's one method that's used. It's used in some governments, it's used in some families, it's used in some places, and it's used effectively and sometimes productively too. But I think I myself usually, well, almost invariably go for another way, although my own personal life, it's hard to say what I do. But you know, I'd like to see folks out there who are listening. We're talking with Dirt Clod, who's the co-founder of Camp Paradise, currently calling from jail. He goes to court tomorrow for charges stemming from assault. And that is in a dispute he had with Larry Templeton. That's going to be coming up tomorrow in court at 8:30 at the arraignment. If you want, you can come to court and be present there. Although I guess they're just going to give you a court date to assign you a public defender and take you back to jail, unless they OR you. Are you likely to be OR'd?
I don't know if there'll be an OR, but I've got a $10,000 bail. Supposedly there's some people trying to scrounge money up for me out there. If this doesn't happen, I'd urge, you know, people that want to contact me by mail.
Mm-hmm. And how can people write you?
They can write me to Santa Cruz County Jail.
Do you have the address there?
No, I don't.
It's possible we can get it later in the show, and I can broadcast it. And also, if people want to leave you messages, I will volunteer the Huff line. If people want to call 423-HUFF, 423-4833, leave a message for Dirt Clod. I can try to pass that on if and when I hear from you, Dirt Clod.
Well, I don't want to blow up your phone, you know. It costs money. That's why I urge people to write.
Uh-huh. That's true. Or if, you know, we can pass that on as, and I can also leave the mess. I think it's 239 Water Street. And what is, do you have a prisoner number?
Yeah, 200-642.
200-642, and your, again, your official name in jail is?
Donald Alden, A-L-D-E-N.
Okay.
Mayflower Compact people.
Donald Alden, and that's at the Santa Cruz County Jail, and again, your number of, your prisoner number is?
200-642.
200-642. This is Becky. It's 259 Water Street, Santa Cruz, California, 95060.
259 Water Street, Santa Cruz, California, 95060?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to try to put that on the Huff line later today. Dirk Clut, is there more you'd like to say on the air?
Yeah, I'd like to say if there's people behind me out there, thank you very much for being behind me. I hope people understand what I've been doing, what's been going on, and how things occur. And if you can, I'm a broke fella. Send me a buck or two.
I'll pass the word on to Attorney Chris Fredrickson and see what she has to say. Maybe she can come visit.
Yes. Tell Chris to talk to me.
I will.
I gotta go.
Hey, thank you both.
Thank you.
All right.
Don't hang up.
Okay, I'm still here. We're on the air.
He hung up. I wanted to talk to him.
Oh.
Yeah, Dirt Clod, my man.
Okay, well, anything, Becky, you want to tell the folks out there in Radioland before I hang up?
Yeah, I did want to say that, you know, the Gay Pride Parade is today. I think it started about 6 minutes ago downtown on Pacific Avenue, and this is a big event in Santa Cruz. And at the parade goes up into San Lorenzo Park, and please stop by the Green Party booth that will be set up in the park. We have some flyers about the bench guards and the disappearing benches downtown. And so I think people want to check that out.
Wow. Yeah, I know that you've been writing about that issue for, on the internet, and I think that an article of yours may be appearing in the next issue of the Green Press on the Santa Cruz Comic News. You want to give us any background of that? I know there was a lot of hubbub last week in the Sentinel about, I don't want to misquote them, but it looked like a pretty critical front page article and a number of other critical articles about how dark and dangerous and violent all those homeless, hippie, youth, punky types downtown.
Yeah, Bad Vibes Downtown by Dan White.
Dan Whitebridge.
Fine Sentinel reporter. And in the fine Sentinel reporting style, looks at the presence of young people and homeless people and poor people and even counterculture people as being a menace that must be banished from the downtown area.
Well, I know that Sentinel then wrote two editorials demanding stiffer laws or stiffer enforcement of existing laws and kind of castigating Mayor Crone, who...
Well, we all like to castigate Mayor Crone, you know. I mean, he's such a disappointment for our side of things. And
he's a nice whipping boy for their side as well.
Yeah, it's not like he's going to give them a fight.
Yeah.
No, but my take on it is that this whole media blitz by the Sentinel against the young people and homeless people downtown there are some major budget cuts coming up in the city's budget, and in June and July, they have to hammer that out.
Actually,
where the axe is going to fall.
It's pretty close. June 13th, I think it's 12th, 13th, and 14th, or 13th, 14th, and 15th. It's very close. So for those of you who want to get in on the budget discussion...
Well, can I finish my thought, Robert?
Yeah, I just thought I'd interrupt you.
Yeah, thank you for that date. The police budget is the biggest budget in the Santa Cruz city budget. It's 33% of the general fund. And these articles, to me, seem as though they're tailored so that when the city council comes, they won't dare to cut the police budget because of all these bad vibes downtown. We need more cops. And they do have two really serious crimes that did happen on Pacific Avenue recently. A shooting down at the south end of the mall near the, was it Maple Alley? Or no, that's not the name of it. And then there was also a stabbing in front of Borders Bookstore. And the one, they've kind of focused on the stabbing in front of the Borders because all three people involved were homeless. However, the shooting that occurred down at the south end of the mall, I think that was Watsonville youth, and by, you know, somebody was out for them. And they didn't live here, and they weren't homeless. And really, we haven't heard much about that story. Not nearly as much as we've heard about this stabbing.
You know, let me interrupt you here, because I'm looking at the Sentinel from yesterday, and I find an interesting little story. Traffic officer returns to duty after accident. A traffic officer struck by a car while he's investigating a fatal crash is back to work and should be back to full duty. Next week, Ken Black, working with the SCPD, was struck by a woman driving a van on Mission Street while he was investigating a fatal crash that involved another man, Vince Enrico, who was killed, 48-year-old, I guess that was on Saturday as well, a week ago. So you've got death on Mission Street, and you've got some violent stuff down on Pacific Avenue, but I don't see them calling for stopping of traffic to stop these criminal hit-and-run drivers or anything up there. Mission Street is, you know, up on the west side, and we don't want to...
I guess you could argue that Mission Street is more dangerous than Pacific Avenue.
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, I've known people personally who were killed. You know, my mother of a very close friend of mine was killed, 10 years ago up there, and the hit-and-run driver was never found. So you've got killers on Mission Street, but you don't have headlines and smear jobs in the Sentinel, do you?
Well, Emily Riley's bakery is on Mission Street, so that would probably, you know, be bad for her publicity.
Killers and bigots on Mission Street, I must say, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not that Emily would have anything to do with that. Sweet Emily.
Well, Emily, unfortunately, as you pointed out when your sign last fall, is responsible for the anti-homeless signs on in the Harvey West area, which make it criminal for homeless people to even park their vehicles between 5 and 7 in the evening.
I have some news for Emily Riley, who's one of her campaign promises was that she would see to it when she was on the city council, and now she's vice mayor, that there would be drug and alcohol treatment on demand for homeless people who need to get into some sort of program. The man who died in the porta potty of a heroin overdose, and
whose death sparked apparently a violent incident the next day.
Where his best friend, who was completely overcome with the grief of losing his friend and felt strongly that it was a wrongful death by the person he suspected of providing the heroin that killed this guy, came and attacked him with a knife on Pacific Avenue. I think that the Sentinel and Emily Riley should be saying, gee, we should get some shelter for these people who are out without houses. Gee, let's get some treatment on demand for homeless people who are suffering with alcohol and drug addiction. Let's end the sleeping ban, which actually criminalizes the act of sleeping for these people so that they're running around all stressed out and at the end of their rope, so to speak. But does the Sentinel call for that? No, they're saying, don't cut the police budget because all those bad vibes downtown with poor people and people with dreadlocks and poets and
musicians
playing guitars and dancing and hacky sacking. What a menace.
I think we need some buttons, sleep deprived and undesirable. How's that? For the new people downtown, the new homeless.
Uh-huh. I have to get to a little chore here, so I'm going to bid you adieu.
Alrighty, thank you, Becky.
Sure.
Bye bye.
And that was journalist Becky Johnson, who also produces this show and helps to get the stuff together. She, as you can see, was able to patch in Dirt Clod from jail. We just had an exclusive interview with him. He called in from the lockup. You can catch him tomorrow in court, probably around 8:30 in the morning. And that's actually the same time that the city council has a special Monday morning meeting. For those who are interested, there's a whole bunch of kind of leftover stuff on the city council agenda. They will have no oral communications, and there will be no broadcast of this particular session. It will start at 9:30 a.m. down at 809 Center Street, the usual place at City Hall. And they're going to have a number of items, and these items include, the two that interest me are the return of the ADUs, the accessory dwelling units, all these garages all over town that people live in but that aren't legal, and so people can't secure basic rights, even the minor basic rights that you get from legal rentals, so you can't get just eviction protections yet because Scott Kennedy and Chris Krohn just don't seem to have that on their agenda. Even though they have a working supermajority, if they wanted to pass some kind of just eviction law, for some strange reason, maybe is it because Chris Krohn is a landlord, and is it because Scott Kennedy is friends with financial interests in town and business interests in town, doesn't want to offend them? I don't know, you know, but I know that there's been no just eviction law on the city council agenda, even though Donna Dice of the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz has been pressing for that law for 5 years at least. Anyway, that's not on the agenda. What is on the agenda is this ADU question, and the only thing that's on the agenda is clarification of return date for the accessory dwelling unit ordinance. This is item 3, that the City Council by motion clarify the return date for the introduction of accessory dwelling unit based on oral information to be presented by the Director of Planning and Community Development, G. Arner. And who knows what that's going to be happening with that. It said that the agenda is here a little ambiguous. The next item is the one that I've been talking a lot about at this during the show. It has to do with the situation for Clearview Court and, by extension, other recreational vehicle parks in Santa Cruz. There are actually two of them that are not tenant-owned, Clearview Court and De Anza. The third one, El Rio, is actually was purchased by the people whose trailers are there, whose coaches are there, and so they aren't in the same category. But rent control, to me, is a very important issue in that it protects the rights of those with less money and less power. We don't have it for ordinary people in Santa Cruz, and we could if any of these folks on City Council raise the issue and actually put forward a proposal. They're afraid of the real estate lobby. They're afraid of the lawsuits. They're afraid of this and that. They don't want to stand up for the people that elected them, unfortunately. That's the sad truth. And they didn't talk about this during the election campaign either. That's the other sad truth. And a little bit later in the show, we will be playing you blips or bits and pieces from the SCAN endorsement forum where Krohn, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar made their little plays and ploys back in 1998. You'll be able to hear their comments on the sleeping ban as well as the comments of the other candidates who lost, Steinau and Quartararo. I haven't quite got it right, but Rod Quartararo, something like that. And Jane Walton, I guess we didn't really catch all of her comments, so we'll be hearing that later. But at the City Council meeting tomorrow, on Monday, item 3 is the ADU announcement, and item 4 is the Clearview Court issue. To find some way. Apparently, the Clearview Court people want to buy their place but the landlords want to sell it for $4 million, which is too much for the tenants. And the City Council wants to get out from under the rent control laws, so they because the RV parks are rent controlled right now. Some of the spaces are rent controlled. Apparently, you can opt into or out of rent control. If you are rent controlled, you can't sell your vehicle for as much, but you get a guarantee that the space rent is not going to rise. And the issue here has to do with the fact that there's a developer who wants to put in some fancy, expensive townhouses and also convert the historic Lynch House into a bed and breakfast use. This is the Clearview Court, which is right across from the former Dream Inn, which is now called something else. And a lot of the tenants were at the last two City Council meetings. We've had several of them on the air here. I've actually invited folks to show up today. I hope they'll call in. You can all call in, by the way, if you want, at 427-3772, 427-FRSC, if you want to talk about this issue. And we're probably going to try to play some more tape on this today, too. We've got a lot of stuff we're trying to get through as usual. Again, all this stuff is happening at the City Council meeting tomorrow at 9:30 in the morning. Wouldn't you know? Not the best time of the to get folks who are working. They can't really get to these kinds of meetings. But what does the city council care? I don't know. Maybe Chris Krohn will call in and give us some thoughts on that. I've told him that this show is happening. I've invited him to come on the show or to call in call into the show. I've also gotten from him a 3-page statement, which apparently is sent to the Sentinel. Thank you, Chris, for getting it to me in a prompt fashion, which talks about his vision of the downtown. We'll be going into that later in the show. It's not a particularly dramatic or a revolutionary or visionary vision, frankly. But he's got a few points that I certainly don't disagree with him on, except that his treatment of the public at city council meetings is so undemocratic, and he seems to be kowtowing so much to other council members who are right-wingers like Kennedy and Fitzmaurice that I don't know that it's worth much. In fact, I know it isn't, at least. He's been around for quite a while, Crown has. He's in his fourth year now, and what has he done? You got to ask yourself that question. On occasion, he takes some principled stands, but now that he has the majority, such obvious items as the sleeping ban, rent control, community control, police, look at the police department budget, you don't hear, diddly squat out of him. And that's really, to me, what tells the story. He's also not willing to apologize for his mistakes. When you arrest people for behavior at city council that's First Amendment protected, you owe them an apology at the very least, and a guarantee that that's not going to happen again. Instead, we see him putting forward motions to cut off debate and discussion on substantive items, like you heard earlier. Those of you who were listening last show, I played the tape of myself trying to talk about the Alibaba's lease, the yuppie fence area in front of New Leaf Market, which is now going to be transferred to another owner because Alibaba, one of the seminal voices behind this, he and Matisse Selman of Sushi Now, apparently is going out of business, or maybe it just isn't interested in continuing the business. There isn't much business there as far as I can see. We have had a successful boycott, and thank you very much, folks out there, for supporting that boycott. I don't like to boycott local businesses, but I like it less when local businesses act in bigoted ways. And there has to be a way to stop that. And the way to stop it is with people power. And that's what we got to do. So I was about to play for you Ed Davidson in the city council meeting in the evening of May 28th. That was 5 days ago now. In the afternoon, Ed Davidson and I were both cut off by Mayor Krohn, Fitzmaurice, and Kennedy, under the pretext that we weren't talking on topic when we quite clearly were. Anyone would realize that who was listening to it. And indeed, I'm going to be filing a Brown Act complaint about this, which says that you cannot shut down people at the mic because you don't like what they're saying. Mr. Davidson came back at the evening session and tried to persuade the city council that they did the wrong thing. Ed is a very soft-spoken guy in his own way, too soft-spoken for my taste, actually, on this issue. But you get to hear what he had to say, and I'm playing it now.
Thank you so much, Peter. Yes, I'm Ed Davidson, Mayor, council members. I wanted to come in here, first of all, to thank Public Works for putting that sign on the Soquel Avenue Bridge saying, through traffic, merge right. It's a little hard to read, but it's better than nothing. And so I wanted to at least let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I did want to discuss what happened this afternoon, and since you apparently feel it was not a topic that was on the agenda, then I guess I'm free to talk about it on all communications moments. What I tried to do in this point of order was to regain the minute and a half that I had given up.
Ed Davidson made a point of order in the afternoon session of City Council that he had been cut off repeatedly by council members, and he simply wanted to regain the time that had been taken away from him. Mayor Krohn refused to recognize him, even to state the point of order, and moved on, pushing forward with his agenda. The amount of time spent by council members interrupting myself and Davidson was probably twice the amount of time that would have been spent had we simply been allowed to conclude our statements, which were not off topic, but which were quite relevant, but which were not something that former Mayor Kennedy, wanted to hear. That was made quite clear by their comments.
I thought that the issue that I was trying to raise was relevant to the lease, and that was essentially the lease of the sidewalk space. I assume that all of these people who are using the sidewalk in a semi-permanent manner are in fact paying rent to the city for the privilege of using the sidewalk. And I did not know at the time whether that was tied to the lease of the kiosk, the encroachment fees or whatever it's called, and whether the change in status of the sidewalk associated with the kiosk was going to be subject to the negotiations in the lease. That was the point I was trying to raise. And since I still have a minute left, let me just say that I still am concerned about the quality of the Pacific Avenue that is, as I thought at the time, I thought that the metallic, gray, cold character lost the earth tone, wood and plain character of the old mall, which was so pedestrian friendly. This avenue is no longer a mall. Is not pedestrian friendly. It was not from the get-go. And all the wrought iron that you add, and all the benches that you take away, are not helping the problem. So if it had been thought out better in the first place, we might have ameliorated the problems that have resulted by some delayed design decisions. But I don't think that expanding that is the direction to go.
Thank you very much, sir. Next speaker.
Have a CD problem. I'm not sure whether it's our CD machine or a cruddy disk, and we'll just have to see. We can do a little better, and I'll be working on that. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and I'm your host, Uncle Robert Norse, and I hope that we can actually get you involved. 427-3772.
427-3772. The homeland, a problem for only one reason. The president raises the question, who owns the land? The homeless, a problem for only one reason. A president raises the question, who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be 90 million dead Indians? Who owns the land? Could it be 6 million Jews? Who owns the land? Is there a connection? Who owns the land? Imperialism, who owns the land? Won't someone please tell me who owns the land? I am just a white man, who owns the land? I live in the Americas, who owns the land? How did I get here? This morning, I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to sleep. This morning, I was awoken.
Senator Robert Norse,
afternoon, the city council was up in its bad old tricks again, spending 5 minutes, because I only spent 3 minutes of comment. Council will say what it wants, it seems, and can continue speaking for as long as it likes, but if an individual here at the mic tries to cite a staff report and use the word homeless, then Councilmembers Fitzmaurice and Kennedy become the grand inquisitors, and we're unable to speak. Apparently, a federal lawsuit needs to be won, not just filed, to get this council to allow community members who openly disagree to speak here. I saw children on the mall today enjoying themselves. I definitely believe that the laws against assault should be enforced on the law, and laws that actually involve crimes of persons against persons. I think that what is happening instead is the police are wasting time and money. We're going to be demanding full budget and that social services be cut with harassment of bicyclists, harassment of crimes like sitting down on a planter, harassment of musicians in alcoves. I got report after report of this, and I invite people to listen to my radio show on this issue every Thursday night from 6 to 8 on free radio. I myself will be going to court on June 5th. Sergeant Baker over there will be one of the key witnesses of my crime, sitting at a table trying to get petitions so that the huge obstructing fence didn't go in. I was accused of obstructing the sidewalk. The community can judge which is obstructing the sidewalk more, that fence or a small table with petitions on it. In the early months of 1999, we heard in these chambers an outpouring of bigotry and fear from the Downtown Neighbors Association and other groups. In June of 2000, a police-orchestrated line of enraged business owners from Mission Street and Harvey West blasted out more bigotry here at this microphone. In the fall of 2001, a parade of environmental...